Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
For this place this morning, how many of you all are thankful for the goodness of the Lord?
Hallelujah!
He has kept you this week. He's kept you Sunday,
Hallelujah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Amen. He kept you safe when you were driving. He kept you safe when you are sleeping. And that's just a testament to the goodness and the faithfulness that God has to those who love him. So we are thankful this morning. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you for being the everlasting God. We thank you for being a faithful Father. We thank you for the goodness that you have shown to our lives this week. We pray, Lord God, that as this message goes forth, Lord God, that you will move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you will allow Holy Spirit to speak through me like never before. So, God, we thank you that your people will receive this word, Lord God, and it will fall on good ground in the good soil of their heart. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. The people shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Didn't our praise team do a phenomenal job this morning? Hallelujah. Thankful for them. Thankful for our musicians. Amen. They did a phenomenal job this morning. And you may be seated. Amen. I'm going to be before you about 3 hours today. I'm just joking. I won't be that long today. But we, as you all know, we are in our series, Legacy. We are in our Legacy series. And guess what happens next Sunday? Well, starting Friday, guess what happens? Church anniversary, 25 years old. They said we wouldn't make it 6 months, but here we are 25 years later. And so I'm so thankful for just the legacy of Lester Bell Sr. I'm thankful that he started this ministry 25 years ago. I'm so thankful for that. And so we are in our series, Legacy, and we're going to use for a topic this morning, When Legacy Goes Right. Everybody say, When Legacy Goes Right. All right, so last week we talked about when legacy goes wrong. How many of y'all remember the story of Achan? We talked about Achan last week and how Achan made one decision, and that one decision caused his whole bloodline to be destroyed. It caused everything he had to be destroyed. So we're going to talk about somebody else this week, and I think it's going to tie right into just this series. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, and if you would, turn to 1 Kings 3 and 3 as well. Put a finger in 1 Kings 3 and 3. We're going to flip over to that. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, and you can follow along on the screen. And I'm going to read from the Message version. Has everyone had an opportunity to get there? If not, if you have, say yes. If you haven't, say wait on me. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Any wait on me? If he was going to say wait on me, I was just going to say look at the screen anyway. Because it's on there. It's on there. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says this in the Message version. It says, a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. Ill-gotten wealth ends up with good people. This is what it says in the Amplified Classic version. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. And I know you're probably wondering, like, Pastor Jay, why do we keep reading these same scriptures over and over again? Because I want these scriptures to get deep down into your heart. I want them to be on the tables of your heart, the tablet of your heart, because I want you to leave an inheritance for your children's children. I want you to. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. One Kings, 1 Kings, the kings that came first, 3 and 3. And this is what it says. It says, Solomon loved the Lord walking at first in the statutes and practices of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And we're gonna launch from this, and I'm gonna start with this. This is my first key point for today. Your legacy is not found in what you leave behind. It is found in who you leave behind. See, we always think that legacy is money. We always think that legacy is inheritance. We always think that legacy is a business or legacy is a ministry. But legacy is not found in tangible things. Legacy is found in the intangible things of a person. So your legacy is found in the character instead of in the tangible things. Now, we can leave an inheritance, we can leave money, but if we leave money but without the wisdom to use that money, then are we really leaving money, or are we just leaving something foolish behind? And so this is what Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was reading this. He said this. He said Solomon was a product of when legacy goes right, because he followed in the statutes and practices of David, his father. So Solomon, let me give you a little backstory. Solomon was the son of David, right? David was king. And so before Solomon became king, I think that was Adoniram. He had stepped up and said, hey, I was going to be king. But Solomon was anointed to be king. So Solomon, it was spoken that Solomon would be king before we even got to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. And so I wanna give you this quote. It says this. It says, legacy is not in what I do for myself, it's what I'm doing for the next generation. So legacy is not what I'm doing for Lester Bell Jr. Legacy is what I'm doing for Lester Bell number 3, and Lester Bell number 4, and Lester Bell number 5, and Lester Bell number 6, if it goes on that long. Right, well, we may have a girl, yeah, it may have a girl. You're right, we may have a girl. So that's the next thing, we may have a girl, so we'll see, but legacy is not in what I do for myself. See, we always think legacy is what I do for myself. No, legacy is what you do for others. And so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And we're gonna break this down today. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And then we're going to jump down and read 9 through 15. And this is what it says. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give you. Basically, in some version, it says, ask anything and I will give it to you. So this is what it says. Let's jump down to verse 9 through 15. It says this in verse 9. So give your servant an understanding. So this is Solomon speaking back to God, because God came to Solomon in a dream at night and said, hey, what do you want? And so this is Solomon speaking back to God. And so this is what Solomon says. It says, so give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge and rule this, your great people? So Solomon already knew that the people wasn't his. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. See, we often think that legacy is tied into your loyalty to somebody. But our loyalty should be to God and not to man. And see, when our loyalty becomes to man and not to God, we oftentimes miss God. And see, God wants us to take our mindset off the man and put our mindset on the one who created the man. So Solomon already knew, first off, he already knew, look, God, this is your people. So how can I rule? How can I have wisdom for your people? See, we have to move past, I want loyalty. I want so much loyalty that I want my loyalty to be greater than the loyalty you have for God. See, your loyalty to God is more important than your loyalty to me. Because we should be loyal to God, because God is the one who created me, and God is the one who created you as well. And so we have to remember that the man is not your maker. Even though the man was used as a vessel to get you here, the man is not your maker. God is your maker. I don't know where that came from. That's not in my notes. But Holy Spirit said to drop that. I don't know who that's for, who's watching, who's in here. I don't know. So verse 10 says this. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for long life or for riches, nor for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to recognize what is just and right. Behold, I have done as you asked. Excuse me. I have given you a wise, discerning mind so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall any arise after you equal to you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings equal to you all your days. Verse 14, and if you will go my way, keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days. So Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So that first part I gave you was just a little intro. So this leads me to my next key point, which is this. Your legacy is created in the decisions that you make today. So your legacy, so the decisions that you make today, that's where your legacy is created. See, our decisions have a profound effect on the life that we will live. They have a profound effect on the life that we will live. See, our decisions not only affect our life, but it affects our family's lives. It affects those lives that are connected to us. And so we saw last week that when Achan made one decision, it affected his whole bloodline. His whole bloodline got wiped out. Everything that he owned got stolen. All his animals, everything that he owned, his gold, his tangible things, they all got taken away from him because he made the wrong decision. See, the decisions you make require wisdom. The decisions you make require wisdom. So we see here in the story, Solomon asking God for wisdom. And see, if we try to do life without wisdom, we're doing life the wrong way. And so the question is, how do we gain wisdom? How do we gain wisdom? How do we get wisdom like Solomon had wisdom? And if you follow along in that First Kings story, it was actually in that story where two harlots had kids. And one of the harlots rolled over on one of the kids, killed her baby. The other one didn't kill the baby. So the one who killed the baby switched out the baby. So when the baby, when the mothers woke up, the real mother had a dead baby, a fake dead baby, basically. And so basically Solomon gave wisdom on how to handle that situation because he asked God for wisdom. So the question is, how do we gain wisdom? Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Because the decisions that you make, see, we have to understand that the decisions that we're making now is not just for us, it's for those connected to us. See, we may not understand those who are connected to us right now, but next month we're going to do a series called Advance, and we're going to talk about being intentional on advancing the kingdom. See, we are intentional about coming to church. We are intentional about being a part of church, and that's great. But I think God is calling us to be intentional outside of the church as well. See, we can be intentional all day long inside the church. But when it comes outside of the church, are we really advancing the kingdom of God, or are we just really hearing it and saying, well, it sounds good. I'm going to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to hear about advancing the kingdom of God in the four walls, and then I'm going to go out and not advance the kingdom of God. And so next month, we're going to talk about being intentional about that. So everybody at James chapter 1, verse 5, and this is what it says. It says, and if anyone longs to be wise, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, by the way, ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. So the scripture is saying, look, you don't have wisdom, ask God. God's not going to say, okay, well, you made this mistake back on September 5th, 2020, and so I'm going to hold it against you until I give you this wisdom. No, he says his grace will overwhelm our failures. See, God's grace wants to overwhelm your failures. So if you think you failed in the area, you think you missed an area, you think you missed God on the area, Ask God for wisdom, and His grace will overwhelm you. See, God, we have to move from a sin consciousness to a grace consciousness. And when we move to that grace consciousness, then we understand that God's grace will overwhelm us. God's grace will overwhelm us so much so that we will allow others to live from that grace, that we are overwhelmed by grace as well. And so when it comes to wisdom, we can either choose it or not choose it. When it comes to wisdom, we can either choose it or not choose it. See, when we choose wisdom, we choose to reign in life. When we choose our limited perspective, we choose to fail in life. See, we try to figure things out. We try to live life out of our limited perspective. And when we live life out of our limited perspective, that's when legacy goes wrong. Because we're saying, well, if I do this, if I calculate this, and God, I got this plan. And God, I want you to be the cosigner on my plan. God, I want you to do this for me, God. I want you to do that for me, God. But God may say, look, I got something better for you. And so when we operate out of wisdom, we operate out of who God created us to be, and we're not operating out of a limited perspective. See, a lot of times people in the church, they live from a limited perspective because religion has taught them to live from a limited perspective. But we live in an unlimited God. The scripture says, in Him we live, move, and have our being. So God is not confined to just one building. God is not just confined to just one object. God is vast. God is unlimited. You can't even fathom how big, how wide, how deep His love is for you. You can't even think about how good God is to you, because He's just that good to you. So He wants to overwhelm you with His grace. He wants to overwhelm you with His love. So we should ask God for wisdom when it comes to our spiritual life. See, we shouldn't just try to just figure out these scriptures by ourselves, because sometimes the scriptures can kind of be confusing. If you don't read the scripture with a scope of Holy Spirit to help you illuminate the scripture, then you will always think you are interpreting the scripture based on how you think it should be interpreted. And that's when legacy goes wrong, when you are trying to interpret the scripture on your own. See, we should ask God for wisdom when it comes to our physical life. See, your physical life matters. See, we shouldn't just be so spiritual that we forget we are a physical being. Because you are a physical being. You have skin. You have a body. You have to take care of that body. You have to take care of your temple. Because don't you know that God is living within you? And so when we understand that God is living within us, then we will take care of the temple that God blessed us with. So that means that we won't make food choices that's going to cause us to be sick later on down the line. That means we're not going to make choices on our health that's going to cause us to hurt later down the line. So we have to ask God for wisdom when it comes to our physical life. We should ask God for wisdom when it comes to our emotional life. See, you have emotions. See, a lot of times we become so hyper-spiritual that we forget we have a physical body, we forget we have an emotional body, we forget we have a mental body, and we forget we have a financial body. But we should seek God for wisdom in these areas, because when we seek God for wisdom in our emotional life, in our mental life, in our financial life, then God can teach us how to live. See, God wants to teach you how to live. But until you surrender your life to God, then you won't know how to live. You'll live life from your perspective. You'll live life from, well, this is how my parents live life, then this is how their parents live life, and we'll just continue. And see, generational curses happen from a lack of knowledge. Generational curses happen from a lack of wisdom. And so when you don't have wisdom, when you don't have that wisdom from God, then that's how generational curses happen. And they keep going and going and going and going until someone says, look, this is going to stop with me. This is going to stop right here. This is going to stop with my generation. I'm going to live different. I'm going to think different. I'm going to be different. All according to the will of God, all according to the word of God. So wisdom is important. See, God does not want to just be compartmentalized to just one aspect of life. See, we oftentimes do that. We just compartmentalize God to a spiritual section. God, you can only take over my spiritual life, and that's all I'm going to surrender to you. But God is looking for us to surrender all to Him. He's looking for us to surrender our relationships to Him. He's looking for us to surrender our mental body, our emotional body, our physical body, our financial body. He's looking for us to submit that to him. Because when you do that, then you're saying, look, God, I know that you are God of all. You're not just God of my spiritual life, but you are God of all. See, that takes wisdom. See, when you surrender, it takes wisdom. It takes humility. And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. God wants to fill our life with him. So every area of your life, God wants to fill it with himself. And when God fills you with himself in every area of your life, see, you live differently. You have peace that people try to feel like, be like, why you got so much peace? It's so much going on. How do you have so much peace? How do you have peace in the middle of a pandemic? How do you have peace in the middle of, I think the enemy trying to cut these mics off today, huh? He don't want this message to get out. But how do you have peace in the middle of a storm? It's because God has given us peace that's surpasses all understanding. See, when you live differently, when you live from a wisdom perspective, then legacy goes right for you. See, I am a product of when legacy goes right. You are looking at a product of when legacy goes right from Lester Bell Sr. and Agnes Bell. You are looking at a product of when legacy goes right. So I wanted to do an illustration today, but God said, no, you the illustration. Because I am when legacy goes right. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Let's go there. And who wrote Proverbs? Who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. King Solomon wrote Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And this is because Solomon asked God for wisdom. See, when you ask God for wisdom, he will anoint everything that you do. He will give you long life. He will honor your finances. He will honor your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body. He'll teach you how to think. He'll teach you how to not react to people, but respond to people with love. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and we almost finished. And this is what it says. It says, here are kingdom revelations, words to live by, and words of wisdom given to power, empower you to reign in life, written as Proverbs by Israel's King Solomon, David's son. Within these things will be found a revelation of wisdom and the impartation of spiritual understanding. Use them as keys to unlock the treasures of true knowledge. So if you want true knowledge, you got to go the wisdom route. If you want true understanding, you got to go the wisdom route. And they will be keys. See, if you don't have keys to the church, you cannot unlock the church. If I don't have keys to your house, I cannot unlock your house. And so wisdom works the same way. If you don't have wisdom in a certain area, you cannot unlock the true understanding of what that area means because you don't have the keys. And so verse 3 says this, those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship. So remember I was saying earlier, we should ask God for wisdom when it comes to our relationships. So it says, those who cling to these words will receive discipline to demonstrate wisdom in every relationship and choose what is right and just and fair. Verse 4, these proverbs will give you great skill to teach the immature and make them wise, to give youth the understanding of their design and destiny. See, as a child, as a kid, you should be asking God for wisdom. Because God wants to unlock your destiny and the design that he created you. See, you have a unique design. Akira, Tierra, Talon, Eli, you have a unique design. And that unique design is found in wisdom. And so when we ask God for wisdom, then he unlocks to us our unique design. Because God did not make one person the same. Even twins are different. Even twins have different fingertips. That's what it's called, not fingertips, fingerprints, there we go. Even twins have different fingerprints. So there's no one fingerprint. And now we have the technology that can probably mimic fingerprints. But from the original creator, there is no, there are no two same fingerprints, because that's how good a God God is. He is so unique that he can all give us, that he can give us all different fingerprints. Now, if you look at your hands, look at my hands, you would think we all got the same fingerprints, but we don't. That's just how unique God is. So he has a unique design and destiny for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Verse 5 says this, for the wise, these proverbs will make you even wiser. And for those with discernment, you will be able to acquire brilliant strategies for leadership. Verse 6, these kingdom revelations will break open your understanding to unveil the deeper meaning of parables, poetic riddles, and epigrams, and to unravel the words and enigmas of the wise. How then does a man gain the essence of wisdom? We cross the threshold of true knowledge, and when we live in obedient devotion to God, stubborn know-it-alls will never stop to do this, for they scorn true wisdom and knowledge. So this scripture is telling me this. There is a faux wisdom, and there is a faux knowledge. Faux, let me spell that for you, F-A-U-X, fake. It's a fake. For the youth, it's a wisdom that's cap, right? Y'all know what cap is, right? All right. So let me explain what cap is, because I want everybody to be on the same. So cap is this. When you say no cap, that means you're saying no lie, right? But when someone say cap, that means you are not telling the truth, right? So I want everybody to be on the same. Y'all got that? Did I break it down? No? No. Let me say it again. When I say no cap, I'm not wearing a cap on my head, right? When I say no cap, I'm saying I'm not telling a story. I'm not telling a lie. I'm not telling a fib. When I say you capping, then that means that you are telling a lie. You are not telling the truth, right? So there is a faux wisdom. There's a faux knowledge. And so when we operate out of that faux wisdom, that fake wisdom, when we operate out of that fake knowledge, then we are not operating in the true wisdom and knowledge that God created us for. Because here is the difference between faux knowledge and faux wisdom and the wisdom of God. The world says take. The world says take. Get all you can all you get, and when you finish, sit on a can. Take. But in the scripture says give. It says give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom, right? So that's the difference between God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. Let me give you another one. The world says whoever's first is the best, right? That's what the world says. Whoever's first is the best. But God's word says, let him among you who wants to be great be your servant. And so the world says, if I'm the king, you should serve me. But God's word says, if you want to be great, you need to serve others. And so there's a requirement for success, for greatness. That means you have to serve others. That's what the scripture says. So that's the difference between a faux wisdom, a fake wisdom, and a true wisdom. So this is my next key point, which is this. Every situation that you are in requires wisdom. Every situation that you are in requires wisdom. There is no situation that you will be in that will not require wisdom. And so the question then becomes, how do we get wisdom? We have to be obedient to God. We have to ask God for wisdom. So when you are faced with a situation, you should say, God, look, what do you want me to do in this situation? Don't say, okay, well, we can do this, and then we can get this. God may have had something totally different. See, while you're going through A, B, C, D, E, God may have just had A for you to go through. But when you do it based on your wisdom, based on the wisdom of the world, then you go through more steps than you have to go through. But when you do it through the wisdom of God, there may be only one step that you have to go through. And so that's why it's important for us to ask God in every situation, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. We almost finished. I know I done said that about three times now, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. And hopefully this year we're going to do a series on wisdom. We're going to do a series on the Proverbs because I want you to understand when you understand how to live life the way God created you to live life, you will have power. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. My time is running short. It says this in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So when you ask God for wisdom, when you acknowledge God, when you trust in God with all of your heart, then it will be health to your flesh. It will be strength to your bones. So that's speaking to your physical body. See, wisdom affects your physical body as well. Because when you ask God for wisdom in every area of your life, it will affect every area of your life. And so this leads me to another quote, and I'm going to start inserting some more quotes because I like these quotes. It says this. It says, please think about your legacy because you are writing it every day. So the decisions that you make every day, you're writing your legacy, which will be passed down to the next generation. So the decisions that I'm making right now is going to be passed down to our kid and his kids and his kids' kids and his kids' kids' kids. And so ultimately, Solomon was the product of legacy going right because of his father. See, I want you to be the one to say, look, legacy is going to go right with me because I want legacy to go right for those who are connected to me. See, that's another stage of love right there. See, when you are not only just focused on you, but you're focused on the future, you're focused on who is to come after you, that's another stage of love. That's another stage of love to say, look, I'm not going to make this decision now because I know this decision is going to affect me in the future. So this leads me to my last few quotes, which is this. The legacy we leave is not just in our possession, but it is in the quality of our lives. So the quality of your life. What is the quality of your life? Can people pick from the fruit of your tree? Can people be nourished from the fruit of your tree? What's the quality that you are presenting? Are you presenting a quality of love? Are you presenting a quality of kindness? Or are you presenting a quality of meanness? I'm going to just be mean to you for no apparent reason. Or I'm going to just be rude to you for no apparent reason. See, our quality in the life that we live is important. And this leads me to my last key point. It's this. God is calling for quality and for us to do legacy right so that we can change a generation. I'll say that again. God is calling for quality and for us to do legacy right so that we can change a generation. See, your focus should be on changing a generation. And so that means that I have to live a quality life right here, right now. I have to make quality decisions right here, right now, because when I make those quality decisions right here and right now, it's going to change a generation. And we're going to talk about changing a generation next Sunday. Amen. Let's give God some praise.